How's it going, Michelle? Jane Opiate, how's it going? Catherine Hill, you're always on quick too. I don't think I know you. I'm doing pretty well. I don't know. You guys ever been in the position where right before you're about to go live, I walked out to my van to get the last of a little donut to get some food in my stomach so my hands wouldn't be shaking when I was talking to you, and it was snagged. It was Silas. He snagged it. Little thief, man. It's crazy. A lot more things make sense to me now that I'm older. Like why it was that my stepdad always had to hide stuff in his sock drawer. Not like crazy stuff, but his comb, you know, stuff like that. He always had to hide it in his sock drawer, and I get it now, man. I can't keep stinking shaving cream for more than like 4 or 5 days, and it's just gone. Yeah, kids. God bless them. God bless them. So, another kind of halfway funny story. For the very first time since COVID started, I think it was Friday. I forgot to mention it Sunday. Friday or Saturday, I was asked by someone in Fred Meyer to step back, that I was invading their space. And hide the cashews. The Fred Meyer thing, the hiccup that their cashiers have, and I ran into this before. It was the first person that actually turned around and said, "Hey, social distance, please." But you know, Fred Meyer, they'll ring someone up, but the customer is bagging their own groceries, and so the transaction's done, but that customer's still bagging their groceries right by the checkout stand, and then the cashier starts to engage the next customer, which in this case it was me, asking me if I have like a rewards card or something like that. So, yeah, cashiers need patience, because even though the lady was kind of snippy about it, but you know, it's because she's anxious being in there and doesn't want to be crowded, you know. So I didn't mind being asked and apologized, even though my head was still 6 feet from her. It was just I was reaching to put in my card number, but. It's interesting, you know, a lot of people just are, you know, anxious, and I don't blame them. Yeah, hiding snacks, I know, hiding candy, hiding snacks. My folks, my mom, they'd always have to hide the rum too, you know, man. We could always sniff it out, though. That was the funniest thing. We could always sniff it out. So, let's see. What do I want to start with tonight? A couple things from our weekly report. So, I used to... when I was on before, I think I'd... Because my weekly report, I get it on Fridays, and so I would talk about it. I would talk about it on Saturday or something, and then the city manager reminded me that weekly reports don't go out to the public until Monday, and sometimes they're a little different because the public weekly report will leave out like names and addresses for some things, like abatement notices and stuff. So fortunately, I never shared that with you guys, but I will. I'll wait now. But anyway. It's Tuesday. There are a couple things of note that were in the weekly report. Currently, there's only been a handful of people that have picked up election packets, and you know, I'm not surprised. It might be an election cycle with not many candidates, but right now there's only Jake Pieper running for mayor, Brad Alcorn, and Anthony Bond running position number one. And then it's only been LaRose like Felicita LaRose, something like that, picked up a packet for position two. Brent Hodges, who currently has position two, I thought that he said to me, "Hi, Candyberry." I thought that Hodges told me that he was in fact going to run again. You know, so if anyone's thinking about it, like I said, I'm the only one so far running for mayor, and then just that the two position one, and only LaRose right now running for position two. The weekly report. Hey, Billy Davis, how's it going, man? I don't know if you guys remember me talking about some time ago that we put the Salmon Run golf course. We did a request for proposals for managing it. That went back out. We only got two different applicants, and I believe one of them is the current manager. So we'll be dealing with that later. The election deadline, Candace, thank you. The deadline isn't until August 18th. But that deadline, I believe, is when you actually have to have your certified petition. So when you go and you pick up an election packet, and the city recorder, you know, whatever, files it or whatever, And then you have to take the signature sheets and get 20 signatures of Brookings city resident registered voters, and then you have to turn it back in, and then it goes up to those signatures go up to the county to be verified, and once they're verified, boom, now you're actually running for office, and that would be the August 18th deadline. So if you're thinking about running, you know, you want to get a packet by the latest the beginning of August, and you want to get probably 30 or 35 signatures from people, unless you know them and know that they've voted. Typically when I get signatures, I always get, you know, a handful of them that are kicked back. People aren't registered to vote, or there's some issue there. So when you ask someone, I've noticed sometimes when you ask people if they're registered to vote, if they want to sign my petition or whatever, they'll say yes. And I don't know, maybe it's because they're embarrassed that they're not actually registered or what. So if you want to do it, grab a packet, get 30 signatures, give yourself some room, and turn it back in and have them. It has to be verified by the 18th. So that means turning in the signatures probably, you know, you're looking at like August 8th or so, probably, to get it up to the county, because they take a little bit to do that. So, hey, how's it going? Also in the weekly report was the barbecue pit is just about done. I saw some pictures of it, and it's, I don't know, I've got to see it completely done and like with a barbecue in it, because right now it looks like a big, it looks like a big concrete hole in the ground is what it looked like to me, but it's big. It's real big. It'll be cool. I know the Elks used to do big barbecues there, and things, so it'll be nice. It's kind of behind the band shell. Can you pay and not get signatures, Dave Arms? No, you can't. You can't. And I know you can do that. You can do that in some local elections. I want to say maybe even school board, you can do that. And I think county commissioners are able to do that, right? Yeah, I see a laughing face on your comment, but it's true. It's true. It's kind of a, I need to get signatures. And I'll, you know, myself and those people listed as running, well, that just means that we've taken out packets. That doesn't mean that any one of those people have actually turned in verified signatures. So every election cycle that I can remember, there's always been a couple packets, at least one packet picked up by someone that probably didn't have any intention on running at all, but you know, I don't know, just wanted to, whatever, just pick up a packet and just show that they're, I don't know, I don't know. I think it's probably been to bug me in prior elections. But anyway, so let's talk about the Azalea Festival a little bit. There was, I think Candy Berry mentioned it, and then I saw a comment on my Sunday's video from Brenda. Man, I've known her for a number of years and still have never really learned to pronounce her last name. It's something like Lafrive or Lapreve or something like that. You know, and I know that there's been plenty of chatter, of Facebook chatter about the Azalea Festival. Okay. So, Candy Berry, you asked specifically about the governor's, you know, new orders, and it doesn't affect the Azalea Festival that much because it's outdoors. And so with an outdoor event that's still limited to 250 people, if you can't maintain social distance, then you need to be masked. So the parade, you know, make no mistake, it's going to be a pretty small event this year. It really is. There's only, Amber from the city told me that there were 40 entries in the parade, which isn't much at all. I wouldn't be surprised. Our parade's going to look probably similar to the graduation parade that the high schoolers did. So as far as the parade goes, I'm not worried about it, guys. There'll be, you know, people spaced out on the sidewalk in family units. Hopefully most of them will be wearing masks. But again, if they're in family units and distance, they don't really need to be wearing masks. The parade starts at 10, and with only 40 entries, I mean, it's not going to last very long. In fact, the Azalea Festival ceremonies start at 12:30 in Azalea Park, and it'll be a small venue. You know, we have the Azalea Court up on stage, and you know, I give a welcome speech, and we hear from a few different people, but it's nothing. You know, our city and our community is already full of visitors, and we've already had, you know, graduation parades. We've had street protests with people on the streets all masked up, and you know, the Azalea Fest isn't anything extraordinary. That's some, you know, some big, you know, bustling event that is something that we haven't seen since COVID. Okay, it's going to be very similar, if not smaller, than things that we've already had. So the anxiety of that, or, you know, even I've seen comments where it's just like, you know, what the hell are they thinking? You know, what is the city thinking? What is the city thinking? We're just, you know, we're thinking about the fact that we, you know, having a long, long-standing event that is the longest standing event for this city, and it's important to a lot of folks. So it's gonna go on, and the sky is not going to fall. And I heard too that the whole candy throwing is out, which I was kind of bummed about. Parade entries, they can still, if they have someone walking with a mask and gloves, they can hand out candy, I guess is what they're doing. So it'll be okay. Sorry, my phone was, some of those dings are important, so I have to make sure to get them. Dave Barnes, you asked an interesting question about the county, and so I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to understand it. So someone sees or recognizes the fact that a lot of RVers are using Highway 101 pullouts Instead of staying at county parks, and the county's thinking that they're losing revenue from it, and so they're going to have a presentation, and it's going to be on a meeting, huh? And yes, for my thoughts. So I mean, I don't really have a lot of thoughts about it, other than that's a strange place to be in if there's someone that is, you know, they see things, and what they see is revenue loss, and if that's the first thing that comes to mind, or that's the impetus of what it is they're doing, you know, that's too bad. And I don't really know what's going on with parks now, Dave, with County Park, because I know that their their last parks manager, their last parks manager resigned, that younger guy. I don't even remember his name, but I'm not even sure if they have a new one. Sanitary concerns too, you're saying they have loss of TLT revenue. I'm not sure what sanitary concerns that they would really have. I mean, what I see parked alongside the road are pretty decent RVs, and people that can buy RVs like that usually know how to use them, you know, and not just dump all the crap on the ground. So I don't know. I'll have to watch that though, Dave. I'll have to watch their meeting. I've actually missed the last two. I'm a couple behind. Junie Brown Loeb needs to be opened. It does. It does need to be opened. I've missed that one. I know that it's used. My family, we don't use it too much anymore because of how crowded it had gotten. But I know that a lot of folks use it, you know, and it's closer to town. You know, honestly, from my perspective, guys, I was pretty happy to see Harris Beach open back up. And the other coastal state parks like Cape Farello and House Rock, seeing those open back up, and if Loeb is kind of the one, I think Chrissy Field is still closed too. Maybe it's not. You know, Loeb not opening. I mean, I don't know. I'm not surprised, and I feel like that was about as much as we could hope for, you know, to be honest. Because of the loss of revenue for state parks, we need to use them. I've been thinking about that. I need to put my shekels in the state parks pot there. Yeah. Yeah. So our council meeting last night, we did end up passing that inclusion resolution, which was, I wasn't surprised, you know, but I'm kind of a, not worrier, but I have a hard time looking kind of at the bright side of things and planning for the best. I don't do well for planning for the best, and so I was glad that it passed, and it was a good resolution. There were a couple last minute text changes, really, because Dave Barnes caught that therefore. So it ended up, you know, it was not perfect, and we had a therefore and then two different be it further resolved, and I realized, like Dave Barnes, you were talking about kind of two different topics, and it did kind of like start with one and then kind of blend to another and then kind of come back to the inclusion. So it kind of went like inclusion, police policies, and then inclusion and police. So I get that it wasn't perfect, but I'm pretty stinking happy that it passed. I'm pretty stinking happy. And anyone that watched the meeting or that was there, I know Diana Cooper actually was there and spoke in favor of the resolution. anyone that saw it, you know, it wasn't a big hoopla. There wasn't much fanfare. There weren't really any. There really weren't much comments from the counselors or myself. We had spoken about it before, and it was just a go ahead, you know, and I'll take it. I've found over the years that sometimes less can be more, like less hype and less ceremonial, you know, less politicizing kind of hype, sometimes works out for the better. So I hope you guys read it, and you know, it's good. It was a good resolution. It really was. And I hope that anyone that questioned this community, or at least the city of Brookings, the organization there, and the political wing of the city of Brookings, anyone that questioned our feeling of anyone other than people don't use alternative lifestyle terminology anymore, right? That seems like a bogus statement. We want this community to welcome all and to respect all. You know, it's not necessarily about all agreeing or condoning everything that each other does, but this is a community for everybody. Everyone that wants to be here and be part of this community, you're welcome to be here, and you need to be respected and treated, you know, like a human being and like a good, decent person. So it was cool. It was pretty cool. And I was actually glad, guys, how the timing worked out, right? Because it took a while. Like if you're thinking about it like that, like when most cities pass resolutions like that or did proclamations like that, we were like 2 weeks behind, or even more, like 4 weeks behind. But you know, it was passed by the city council, and not as a knee-jerk reaction. It wasn't passed to appease a large protest happening. It wasn't passed to appease, you know, 30, 40 people coming to the council chambers, you know, advocating for something. It was a thought out, resolution that the council chewed on and passed. And it's really great too that the staff involvement, I'm pretty happy with. When you work on something, you kind of like, you have some personal ownership of it. And so I know that city staff that worked on it, and actually wrote some of it, it means something to them, right? A lot of things we do, you know, on the one hand, we're telling the citizens something, and on the other hand, just the city as an organization, and for the 50 people or whatever that work there, and probably the, you know, the other 100 people or so that are either volunteers or parts of different groups that work for the city. You know, our city folks, our city staff people, get that's the message now. That's the message, the collective message from the city council is that this is an inclusive community where, you know, diversity and diverse opinions and diverse lifestyles are respected. So it's pretty cool. I thought, and why city councils need to be diverse. I thought it was cool. I really did. I was happy about that. And it opened up, it gave me the authority to propagate that message. So, you know, when I come on here and in my intro to this page, my disclaimer about me representing only my own opinion and not the opinion of the city council, that changes a little bit when the city council passes something. This is, you know, be it resolved. This is what we think. Well, they approve that. I can take that now and run with that and preach that and use it. So, it was cool. It was cool to have that affirmation, and unanimous support from the council. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. I chatted last time I was on about, it wasn't the first time a resolution like that was brought forward. And, you know, I don't know, timing, we're living in different times. We're living in very different times now. So, yeah. Well, let me see, guys, if I had anything else for you. That's pretty much it, guys. That's pretty much what I got. So, today's Tuesday. Candace asked about fire. Yeah, we're going to have to chat about fire. Fire danger and you know, the city's role in that. Because obviously I'm not a fire guy. The city is not really the, we wouldn't be the ones, you know, putting out any wildfires. But what is our role in that? You know, the facilities that we have probably is our biggest role. And one being the EOC, the Emergency Operating Center, that would, you know, was used during the Checo Bar fire and would be used again probably in another fire. And that radio tower that we have. So the times we're living in now, having a local radio station with the ability to broadcast off of a tower that is pretty well, you can pretty much count on that puppy still standing in an emergency, tsunami or earthquake or anything like that. The value of having KCIW's antenna on there is, I think the value of that is going up in the days that we're living, right? So our responsibility as a city and how to deal with fire, a key component of that, I think, is going to be KCIW. And we're going to have to get that figured out with KCIW. I think that if there was a guarantee, a timeline given for when the emergency, like, broadcast preparation thing can be done for KCIW to get that done and handled and kind of operational, and a commitment to keep that aspect of it going, the value of that should easily be able to offset the loss of revenue, or, you know, that would offset and fill a gap there and allow the lease amount to stay relatively low for KCIW. I think that's where we need to go, and I know, you know, I know I'm preaching to a few choir members, so I know the year lease is coming up kind of in the fall. So I think KCIW, in writing, taking another run at the city, asking for an extension and just getting the communication lines open again and seeing what we can do. So that's kind of that's my next, that just moved into kind of priority spot number one for me on some of these extra extracurricular activities that I do as mayor. So KCIW, yeah, we're gonna have to work on that, because that, like I said, that our big responsibility during fire is really that, you know, public health and safety, not necessarily dealing with the fire, but just dealing with our folks that are affected by the fire. So that's where we're going. And speaking of KCIW, still working on a weekly interview with them, and I got communique from Candace about getting that going, and so that'll start up before too long, guys, and that'll be cool. I'm looking forward to that. And like I said before, I hope you guys listen to it, because I think that could really be something. I think you'll be able to get more out of me, you know, listening to an interview, I'm sure, than me just kind of rambling on. Dave Barnes, lease them the space for a buck a year. Yeah, that the whole lease and lease amount, that's what we need to kind of take another run at. Take a run as though it is, you know, 2020 and in the world and in the reality that we're in right now, and have to kind of hit the reset button on a few things, a few attitudes too. Reset button. So, all right, guys, that's it. I will, I'll see you on Thursday at 6 o'clock, and looking forward to it. Silas is still doing soccer, guys, but I'm not sure how that's all going to work out with Kate Brown's newest order, because I know soccer players aren't going to be playing soccer in masks, but I know that they can't stay 6 feet apart from each other. So I don't know. We might end up getting getting the boy back here playing every time for us. So, okay, until Thursday. See you guys.